Hello again and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Pop culture has become San Diego Comic-Con, the pop culture world's defining event. Movie studios, comic book publishers, video game companies, and game distributors flock to the convention center in San Diego to announce exciting news for the year to come. It's become so much more than just comic books. But here to talk comic books and pop culture, we welcome one of the biggest geeks in the region. And I didn't write this, Rick. Your wife, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, wrote this. But Rick Marshall is here, and he will answer all your questions about comics. He's the former editor of MTV News Splash Page blog, has been dubbed a professional geek by the likes of ABC, CBS, CNN, Spike TV, his wife, and more. He's an industry expert, regularly providing news, reviews, and columns for Movies.com, Digital Trends, MTV. Rick, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
It has. I love coming back, though.
How long? Well, you were on last time around Comic-Con, were you not?
I was around a little while back. We were talking comics and pop culture, and, you know, a lot more is going on now, though, than when I was here last time around.
So before we get into all these changes that are making my head spin in the comic world, remember, I'm 50 years old. I turned 50 this spring. So I go back to the days when Superman was Superman, there was Action Comics, and there was Superman, and there was Batman and Detective Comics, and basically the storylines were the same. Now everything is in 10 different directions. We'll talk about that first, but tell me about Comic-Con. It's so much more than comics. Now we have movie people and
it is a multimedia event. It's the biggest one of its kind.
Oh, by the way, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Weigh in with a question, maybe your favorite superhero. All right, Rick, you've been to Comic-Con. You're not going this year.
I am very thankful to not be going. I have covered that show so many times over the years. It's a grueling experience. It's kind of, especially from the news side, as someone reporting on it.
Yeah.
You have to imagine basically a story that would normally be the biggest story of the week, something huge being announced, except while you're at Comic-Con, basically it's a case of 10, 12, 15 of those types of stories all happening simultaneously at any given hour, any given moment, and you kind of have to scramble around trying to arrange interviews, all that type of thing. So, you know, from that perspective, it's a bit of a marathon type of event. But, you know, from a fan perspective, I hear it's great. I rarely get to actually see the floor.
Yeah.
While
oh,
I'm
really?
There. So usually I hit it on like Sunday. I'm usually in one of the press rooms or near one of the places where we're covering, when the studios where we're actually doing interviews. But I'll usually hit it on Sunday when things are calming down a little bit. And by calming down, it's like, you know, 50,000 instead of, you know, 100,000 or something like that. And that's when we'll usually kind of take a walk around the floor and see what I missed, maybe.
So the movies, the comics, I understand. If you're going to make a big announcement, say Archie getting killed, for instance, and you want to do it where everybody will see it, you do it at Comic-Con. But if there is so much happening and so many announcements all the time, why would a movie studio pick something that is that spread out? In other words, don't you want to?
Actually, one of the conversations I've had with a lot of publicists over the years, and I think they're starting to trend towards recognizing that, and that a lot of big announcements are starting to happen sort of in the week, 2 weeks leading up to Comic-Con, and some of them in the week or 2 weeks after Comic-Con. They sort of reserve the actual big ones for Comic-Con still. Batman and Superman are going to be in the same movie together.
I mean, how is that going to work, by the way?
That movie? I have a very uncertain opinion of the film in that I didn't like Man of Steel that much.
I liked that movie.
So I'm curious to see how it works. Like, I feel like Man of Steel was a bit too dark for that character, and the fact that you can bring in Batman and there's a possibility that the movie's going to be a lighter movie if you bring in Batman seems a bit weird to me. But I'm hoping that they're going to make some other announcements at the show this year that maybe will make me feel a little bit better about Batman versus. But let's be honest. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Oh, wait, no. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice is the full title.
Sounds like a Supreme Court decision.
Exactly. Yeah?
That you know, Superman, superpowers, comes from Krypton, much heavier gravity. He can do amazing things here. Batman's a guy with a lot of gadgets. How is that going to be a fair fight?
Well, it's happened before. It's played out before. And director Zack Snyder has actually, he alluded to it being something related to The Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller's comic book where Batman and Superman fight in it. And Batman certainly holds his own. He's got, like, you know, kryptonite gloves and all that type of stuff going on. And, yeah, I think
kryptonite gloves,
you can
brilliant.
Never count Batman out of any fight.
That's, that's a good plan. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We're talking comics today and pop culture with Rick Marshall. 1-800-348-2551. So the news came down, I don't know if it was earlier this week or late last week, Archie is going to die.
R.I.P.
What's up with that?
Well, Archie is dead.
He's already died.
He is dead. Yes, he has died saving, and this isn't a spoiler because basically everyone explained the story and all of these stories, all the coverage of it, even before the comic was out. But Archie has died saving his friend Kevin Keller, a senator, a gay senator. From someone trying to kill him, Archie took the bullet for Kevin, and that's the end of Archie in life with Archie. However, as you mentioned, there are other Archie comics still going on. There's Classic Archie, where Archie's still a teenager,
right?
But Life with Archie, where he died, was actually Archie's life as an adult.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So that brings me to another point. Now, oh, by the way, I should mention that Batman's 75th anniversary is this year, and there's a character near and dear to my heart. And let's see, there is an event coming up, and I'm trying to figure out where it is. I was handed this sheet. It is the Christine L. McDonald Community Room. I'm not exactly sure where that is. I think it is in Glens Falls. It is a Batman 75th anniversary celebration. It is on the 23rd. That is today, I believe, and that goes until 9 o'clock tonight. So
nice. Lots
of stuff going on there. Batman 75. But Batman, how many different offshoots and brands are under the Batman name?
So many. You got Batman, you have Detective Comics, then you have all the different variations. There's been different forms in the animated movies, different television series, everything going on with Batman. And Batman's one of those guys who can exist sort of on his own. You had Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy of movies that exist outside of anything that was done prior or coming up. Mm. So, yeah, Batman lives on. And it's also the 75th anniversary of the Joker, too, by that. So.
Oh, I'll be darned. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Maeve and Saugerties. Maeve, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I didn't like Man of Steel either.
Really? Now, why didn't you like it?
Because I thought that I felt like it was glorifying violence, and I don't think that that's consistent with the Superman cultural phenomenon. My question was about Comic-Con and other large events. And I'm wondering, Rick, if you have an opinion on what these events and organizers can do to make sure that women who attend are welcomed and included as equal participants in geek culture, as opposed to being treated as objects and eye candy to sell more products to a male audience.
Okay.
Well, I think that a lot of conventions are starting to address this now. I think there's been this sort of sea change in the way in recognizing women's place in geek culture, and that it is significant. A lot of these conventions are starting to put forth these codes of conduct, these very official codes of conduct that never existed in prior conventions.
Give me an example.
I know New York Comic Con especially made a big deal out of their code of conduct. San Diego similarly is putting forth a code of conduct. Basically, you can't harass the women who are dressed up in costumes, and what constitutes harassment. All the different types of things are being outlined now that were sort of just not really talked about in the past.
Yeah.
And no one, you know, if people complained, then maybe something was done about it. But now there's very much very, very certain rules about what's okay and what's not with people who are dressed up, with the way you treat female guests there.
I relatively recently I walked into a Magic the Gathering club that was at a high school, and the teacher who was organizing the club as I came in and said, "Oh yeah, I used to play Magic when I was in high school," was like, "Oh my God, it's a unicorn," referring to me as a unicorn because I was a girl who had played Magic, right? And there was actually one girl in the club, the only girl in the club, and you know, statements like that when you automatically turn, you know, women who are interested in these things into the other and into something other than human and something other than like a full agent can be really isolating and can make women feel like they don't belong and they're not welcome.
Yeah, and while it is very isolating, I'm sure. It's also, I feel like things are shifting in the right direction when it comes to some of these issues, because the fact they have these codes of conduct now, the fact that we're starting to see more female creators getting this spotlight, the fact that we see more female characters getting pushed up, this whole female Thor thing,
which
for
is
Marvel.
A great point. We'll bring that up more after the break. But that's a huge change for Marvel Comics.
Yeah. They're starting to do a really good job of changing things around, recognizing there needs to be a bit more diversity in their stable of characters.
Well, and I do agree with you that things are changing, and I think that's because of self awareness, that people are just raising their consciousness about what's actually going on.
Hey, Maeve, great call. Thank you very much. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. Rick Marshall is here. We talk Comic-Con, which is about to start, or has it started?
This is preview night tonight and officially kicks off tomorrow.
It's in San Diego, California, if you want to hop on a jet and head on over there. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, InterimHealthcare.com. SPAC, presenting the Bolshoi Ballet from July 29th to August 1st, performing Don Quixote with 4 performances. Fireworks opening night and celebrations planned all week long. SPAC.org. Careers in Transition LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Double H Ranch, Lake Luzerne, New York, providing outdoor Adirondack adventures for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses, a serious fun camp, doubleHranch.org. And Natural Elements Pottery, Cummington, Massachusetts, part of the Hilltown 6 Pottery Tour. 9 studios open their doors to the public, July 26th and 27th. ChristyKnox.com for info.
One 800 348 2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. You can also tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you could go to our website, WAMC.org/Vox Pop, and make your comment right there. Or you could email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we love your phone calls, 1-800-348-2551. And Brian Shields just handed me this. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until 10 o'clock tonight for these counties in New York: Albany, Columbia, Fulton, Greene, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, Schenectady, Schoharie, Warren, and Washington. Again, that's a severe thunderstorm watch. If we get some warnings, we will let you know right away. So Rick Marshall, Marvel announced in the last several days that Thor, the god of thunder, is now changing genders. How did that come about?
Well, it's basically that Thor does something that makes him unworthy to hold the hammer anymore, to be Thor, to be that hero, and he's replaced by a female character.
So it's not really Thor, it's another character.
Yes, it's a different, it's a female character, but she is Thor. She is the new Thor, and that's the basic gist of the entire thing. It was announced on The View a while back, and it's been interesting to watch this entire news happen, because comics fans, like longtime comics fans, aren't really freaking out about it that much, because they've seen this type of thing before. However, the more mainstream fans, people who know Thor from the movies, people who know Thor from just references, passing references to the character, are the ones I've seen sort of more agitated about this change.
So there is some agitation.
Yeah, there definitely is. There definitely is. And there's some of the agitation of, well, is this just a marketing stunt? That type of thing. And I think longtime comics fans look at it as, as long as the story's good, then it'll be okay. But, comics fans have seen this type of thing happen before.
All right, let's go to Kathy and Rensselaer. Kathy, you're on.
Well, I know you say it's happened before, but what I really dislike is calling it Thor. I don't care if the new god of thunder or whoever wields Mjolnir is a male, female. Other characters have done it. But to call this the new Thor I guess that's what kind of rankles more than anything else. I don't care when they change ethnicity or anything else on characters, as long as it fits in. The thing with Johnny Storm, who's supposed to be Sue Storm's sister, not really being, or excuse me, she's supposed to be a sister, not really being in the family anymore, is another real kind of step off of canon, whole new thing.
So have you been a comics fan for a long time, Kathy?
A long time.
Okay, me too. And so all of these changes, I have a tough time with any of these changes because, as I was saying to Rick earlier, in my day, and I when I was a kid, early 70s, the storylines, they stayed pretty much true. Even if there were two Supermans, an action and a Superman comic, the Superman was Superman.
You know, it's that is the case. However, you did have different storylines going on simultaneously. You had Superman and you also had Superboy. They didn't exist in the same universe back in the day. You had, you know, Green Lantern was both the Alan Scott, the one, the older character, as well as the new Hal Jordan and things like that.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, and all that went on. However, it is a bit weird to see these sort of wholesale changes without without sort of the context that maybe we might get. And also, you know, we can look back on some of the changes in these types of things and say, oh, well, it worked in that case, it didn't work in this case. We have yet to see what's going to happen with Female Thorn. I think that's the really important thing here is if the story does well, then it's perfectly okay and we'll absolutely forgive it.
Kathy, what do you think?
I think that's true, but I think it still should be the God of Thunder and not Thor.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Of course, another question is Marvel Comics. They must have a plan because they have a ridiculously successful franchise in the Avengers and all the individual offshoots. Among the Avengers, Thor. So the next time there is an Avengers movie, and I understand there will be a couple of more, what do you do?
That's an interesting point because when Christopher Nolan's Batman movies were coming out, one of the things that a lot of comics fans brought up was the weird coincidence that Batman Bruce Wayne was actually dead in the comics at the time when Christopher Nolan's movies were coming out. When some of the movies were coming out, there was a period of time where Bruce Wayne wasn't even Batman. And so a lot of people questioned the sort of timing of that. However, I think Marvel usually has a much better sense of synergy between all of their properties, movie, TV, comics, all of that, and they tend to pay a lot more attention to that.
Yeah.
I suspect that whatever is happening with Thor might be...
Or Captain America, for that matter.
Yes, or Captain America might be resolved, changed by the time we see, like, Avengers Age of Ultron next year.
Which is already shot, though, right?
It's already shot, and I feel like the comics will sort of bring things back to the status quo by that time. That may not be the case, but I feel like it'll probably happen.
But if they do that, then those who embrace Thor's change will be upset. And they're opening themselves up for controversy.
It's the same sort of situation with Spider-Man or Batman or any of the other characters that have gone through changes. You know, what happens most of the time is those characters who sort of occupied that role for a brief temporary period of time get sort of relegated to being, hey, remember, that was a really good Captain America that time when Sam Wilson was Captain America. I really like him. I like to see him in some more. And sometimes they vault into another series where they get to kind of play off of the success they had in that higher profile Captain America role or Thor role.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. Rick Marshall, a professional super geek, is with us. Let's go to Orion and Woodstock. Orion, you're on.
Hi. I just like to comment that I don't feel personally, you know, as an aspiring youth who reads comics in the now, I don't feel that Marvel or DC really you know, emphasize the fact that women superheroes aren't relevant. I feel that, you know, they have lots of great women, you know, superheroes who emphasize their concept of powers.
Oh, they absolutely do. I think Batgirl especially has been great. Batgirl recently, and there's been a lot of good series that have come about and with female leads that have been fantastic. And I don't think there's been any sort of lack of emphasis on their part. It's just
I think it comes more from, you know, a fan aspect that, you know, it just so happens that the majority of fans are males, and that, you know, we tend to prefer to see one who is male who's, you know, causing all good in the world. But I have certain memories of, you know, any moment. Like, personally, I find the Fantastic Four being, you know, a great band of superheroes, and there was many times that, you know, male people wouldn't know what to do, and they would have, you know, Invisible Girl have, you know, the brains so much of the operation.
Yeah, that was I think one of the really great examples. Sue Storm has definitely become the sort of the linchpin of that entire family in the comics over the years. And,
of course.
Yeah,
and the Fantastic Four film franchise sort of fizzled out.
Yeah, they have a new one coming up.
Oh, they
though.
Do.
Yeah, they have a new one coming up. Although they seem to be taking a lot of liberties with the origin story for the characters.
So they're replaying the origin story again.
Yeah,
so every
yeah.
few years, the movies replay the origin stories.
It's going to be interesting, and that's what I think. That's what Kathy was alluding to with the Johnny Storm relationship with the family, because thus far it seems as if they're going to be kind of adopted siblings.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a completely different type of origin story where it's not just a family all together with superpowers sort of thing. They're going to come from different areas.
I'm fascinated by. In particular Marvel, but I'm sure DC and the others, the synergy between what's on paper or digital comics these days and what's on film. I know Marvel has a new film out, Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
the promos of which don't look particularly enticing, but that was a comic that sort of came at the end of my buying comic books. I may have one or two of the early ones lying around, but how do they know that this is going to fly?
Well, thus far, I mean, I'm going to have to disagree in that I think the promos for that one make it look like one of my favorite Marvel movies so far.
I think it looks like one of the worst.
I love, like, every bit of footage that has come out about that one. And thus far, it's testing really, really well.
Yeah.
That they're already probably on their way to greenlighting a sequel on this one. Early reviews came in. They had screenings last week. And near universal praise for the film.
Really?
And that it hits all the right beats. It's great. It's a comedy. But it was... To your point, it was an extremely risky project. This was the riskiest movie that Marvel has made thus far. It's a cosmic adventure starring a bunch of characters most people haven't even heard of.
Right.
You know, it's this cosmic adventure with a raccoon and a humanoid tree
right.
as two of the main characters. So, yeah, it was a very risky one, but thus far I think it looks like it's going to do well, and it also brings Marvel into that cosmic universe.
All right, let's go to Jeremy and Amherst. Jeremy, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment briefly about the shift from Thor or to the woman Thor.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of strange, honestly. I mean, I don't have any problem with, like, female superheroes. Obviously, they've always been in comics, but it just seemed like it was some sort of, it's almost like a feminist undertone to it, to transition from what has essentially kind of evolved. Yeah, sure, it's in American comics, but it's evolved from Nordic legend that, you know, there is no shift to it. I don't know if I'm going too far there because we're sort of talking about Marvel Comics and that sort of thing, but you know, I was just calling because it seems sort of strange. There are themes in terms of, like, popular culture that are more regularly emerging. Not that that's a bad thing. I just think it's interesting to observe. You know, in order to shift the way culture is, and it seems like sort of the denouncement of the male god Thor and his power, and sort of this imposition of a female Thor, which it really isn't. It's impossible to do that because there is no such thing as female Thor. It's a male Thor, and that's just like that's the legend itself.
Maybe. All right, well, let's let Rick Marshall weigh in here. Go, Rick.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that we really need to wait to see how the story plays out. The writer on the series, Jason Aaron, has more than proved himself as a very capable writer. So I'm curious to see how the whole story plays out. Also, as you know, anyone who's read comics for a long time knows, these things probably won't last. What they do tend to be is a way to sort of put a character in the spotlight for a while, even though there are a great number of established female characters and female superheroes.
Going way back.
Yeah. And sometimes putting some of these lesser-known characters in the spotlight for a while by, you know, making them Thor or making them Captain America, making them any number of well-known heroes, gives them a chance to be in the spotlight, see what's good about them as unique characters.
Yeah.
And then when the original character comes back to take up that mantle again, there's enough popularity for those characters where they can kind of carry their own series. We've seen that with Dick Grayson taking over for Batman for a while. And
sure. Bucky, yeah. Didn't Bucky become Captain America in the 70s, early 70s?
Exactly. Bucky taking over for Captain America, and then now, Winter Soldier is a ridiculously popular character now because of the movie and his time spent
that.
As Captain America.
And I must see it. Now, here's one of my favorite emailers who emails the roundtable all the time. Bonnie writes, Ray, it's not a name. It's a job description, i.e. one who wields the hammer of thunder and lightning. One must be worthy.
I think it is also worth pointing out that Thor is a comic book character. It's not specifically the, Norse god. It is Marvel's god of thunder.
Right.
It is, takes some liberty. Marvel has taken some liberties with the traditional Norse mythology and all of those. While I understand it's not the Norse god of thunder and all the things that come with it, it is a Marvel Comics character named Thor who is the representation
right.
of a god of thunder from that sort of pantheon.
Rick Marshall is our guest. We talk Comic-Con and comic books and pop culture in general. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Jeremy, our last caller, brought up sort of an allusion to an agenda by comic book publishers. Do you think that they have social consciousness in mind as they release their books and their new characters?
I do think they hear a lot of the buzz that's out there for calling for more diversity in comics. Sometimes I think some of the ways it's handled and ways it's approached are sort of gut reaction or even the quickest thing you can think of to sort of address that issue and then move on sort of scenario. But I think Marvel's making a very concerted effort to listen to what fans want and listen to what sometimes fans maybe disagree on, but try to appease one group of fans, show that they're doing this thing and have this in mind, and then sort of go back to normal and see if they, okay, hey, we gave you a female Thor, we gave you this, let's see how these characters go and then look at the numbers and see if they're viable to continue on.
Ultimately, it's a business. It ain't Shakespeare,
it
and clearly, they want to improve the bottom line.
Exactly. And I think that's what it all comes down to. If you like female Thor, if you like having the more characters that are that aren't represented enough, more types of characters aren't represented enough in comics, you need to go out and buy those comics. You can talk about them all you want online. You can say all you want about them, but if you're not buying the comic itself, you're not supporting it, and you're not putting a vote of confidence to doing more of that type of thing.
And one thing that Marvel has done, not that it needs more publicity at this stage, because the publicity machine is well-oiled, but one thing that this move with Thor has done is they're out there.
Yeah.
Public radio is talking about it, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? Let's go back to the phones. Frank and Colony. Frank, you're up.
Hi, thanks. I was looking at the image of the female Thor, and I thought it posed a very, very striking image, and I got to thinking about another character which I enjoyed over the years, and he had that same visually striking image, and with the CGI and everything, I was thinking of Hawkman. Have you heard of anything going on in the movie industry about that character?
About Hawkman?
Yeah.
Hawkman's a rough one to get because he's had such a convoluted history and origin story
That's
over
true.
The years, and so he's a rough one to kind of...
But he is visually striking, and with the
very
CGI
much so.
Now, they could put wings on everybody's backs now and everything.
Very much so. I mean, the only thing we've seen so far was that a couple episodes of Smallville that he was on.
Yeah, but that was cheap stuff compared to what they could do in the movies, of course.
Yeah, and I think that as the DC universe expands, as you can see now, they're trying to actually bring in other types of characters. We may get that character on the big screen, but I think it's going to be a long time, and you're going to need to see some
well,
other...
anything on the inside.
I think you're going to need some bigger name characters coming into that Batman v Superman universe before we get to Hawkman. I think he's kind of down the list of the characters.
Justice League, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We talk comics, pop culture, etc. with Rick Marshall today. And they talk about CGI, Rick. Doctor Strange, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
Well, they're making that movie, and it's great.
They are.
Yes. The director of Sinister, Scott Derrickson, is directing the Doctor Strange movie. And while it doesn't have a release date yet, that is one of the upcoming films in the Marvel Cinematic
Universe.
I'll be
darned. Who's starring?
They don't have any star yet. They don't have any of that. All they have is a writer and director working on it. They don't even have a release
date. Depp could do that.
you know, Depp was in the mix a while ago. I don't know anymore if that's something that they'd want to do, because they also tend to go for lesser known actors in the major roles.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think they would bring in someone like Depp for that.
Okay.
Scott Derrickson, I think, is a great choice for it because he has a background directing these horror movies and things like that, you know, sort of these very dark films. And Doctor Strange, if you go back to the roots, is a very dark comic.
And just so mystical. And it was always drawn fairly well, at least in the 70s. I don't know. When did that start? Late 60s?
I think so. Yeah, that was part of the entire lots of psychedelic stuff going on.
You
in that
betcha.
One.
All right. Well, before we go to the break, well, here's another email. What's the word on the next Sin City flick?
Well, they have Sin City, A Dame to Kill For is coming out not too long. That's probably going to be at Comic-Con doing some stuff to promote it there. And it's that one. I love the first Sin City. I'm curious to see whether the second one can have something new or if it's just sort of replaying what worked in the first one. But it's two or three stories that weren't used for the first movie, as well as one or two original things from Frank Miller. So I'm curious to see how it goes over and whether or not I can kind of capture the magic of that first movie.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Always fun to have Rick Marshall here. We'll be back with your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany, New York. Live United, Give, Advocate, Volunteer, UnitedWayGCR.org. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953, SHEEHYOpticians.com. Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the Berkshire Hills, presenting the BSO, the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, and guest vocalists in a performance of Mahler's Symphony No. 2, Resurrection, July 26th, Tanglewood.org. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, helping to bring nature closer with Eagle Optics, Vortex, Swarovski, and Zeiss Binoculars and Spotting Scopes, 518-226-0071. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org.
One 800 348 2551 is our telephone number. Severe thunderstorm watch in effect till 10 o'clock tonight for Albany, Columbia, Fulton, Greene, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, Schenectady, Schoharie, Warren, and Washington counties. We'll keep you posted if any of those watches become warnings. And the number to call once again is 1-800-348-2551. We talk comics today with Rick Marshall. Comic Con getting underway with a preview tonight. And then how long does that go?
Oh, the preview goes tonight, and then it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for Comic-Con.
You think 100,000, 150,000 will be there?
I think closer to 150,000. Wow. 130,000 is usually the limit that they cap them at, but usually they squeeze in a few more people in there.
All right, here's one from email, and then we'll go back to the phones. Mike P. in Hudson says, what about gay superheroes? Would love to see a Wonder Woman movie, and why not let her come out? Everything about her background, powers, and weaknesses indicate that she's homosexual. Also, Batman, come on now. Great show. You can touch that if you want. Say them, we read them.
You know, I think that that's one of the things that's a bit difficult about bringing a Wonder Woman movie to the screen is that, you know, she has kind of a weird backstory. I mean, she was created as sort of like this bondage super heroine. And, you know, I think that's going to come out when Gal Gadot comes to the screen as Wonder Woman in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
You like that title, don't you?
I hate that title.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Joe in Saratoga. Joe.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
Got a question for Rick. Rick, how you doing? It's Joe. We met at Comic Depot a few months back.
Hey, Joe.
And question for you. What do you think about the San Diego Comic-Con Marvel toy exclusive, the Hasbro toy exclusive?
What do they got?
This is a loaded question, mainly because Joe knows that they have finally made a toy of my favorite comic character in the entire world, Rom Space Knight.
I don't know that one.
It was a comic book series. It was created based on a Parker Brothers toy back in the early 80s or so. And book series lived on much longer than the actual toy. But it had a lot of great writers come in. And it's one of my favorite comic book series. And It's in, stuck in kind of like a rights issue right now where the rights are held by Hasbro, but Marvel did the comic, and they're not sure who has the rights to which parts of the character.
Yeah.
And they finally made for this Comic-Con actually a new sort of action figure, a collectible figure of ROM Space Knight. It's first new ROM anything in 20 years or 20,
wow.
30 years or so. And
big
I'm
news.
Very excited about
yeah.
it. So, yes.
Good. I'm glad you are excited. And the second one is the Marvel... Infinity Gauntlet 3¾ action figure you'll actually be able to wear an Infinity Gauntlet, which is something that I've wanted for years. And what I love about it, too, is that it seems to be coinciding with Thanos' upcoming appearance in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and we've
yeah.
been rumored that we're going to be seeing more of him in the upcoming Marvel movies over the next few years. So,
yeah, these toys are great.
Great timing.
You guys really are geeks. I got to say, I've never felt so
oh,
sophisticated
yeah.
and urbane in my life.
Yes. It's they're actually doing a great job. They're like it's very interesting to watch which toys get licensed, which lines get licensed, because now as Marvel sort of branches out in the mainstream towards more of its lesser known properties, they're starting to actually recognize that with a lot of these toys you would never expect to come out. Like I never expected to see a toy based on Rocket Raccoon from the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, fantastic.
Like, blows my mind that these toys exist now.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Sharon in Pittsfield. Sharon, you're up.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Rick. How are you? I want to talk about Star Wars. I want to talk about the new J.J. Abrams Star Wars
yeah.
in particular. I was not happy with Star Trek Into Darkness. I thought they did a horrible job on that last one, and I'm really concerned that this whole spectacle that they have going on around the new Star Wars trilogy is not going to be, you know, it's never going to bring back that magic from episodes 4 and 5. It's just not going to happen. For me, anyways, I don't feel like it's going to. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, something to keep in mind is that, you know, while I wasn't a huge fan of Star Trek Into Darkness as well, J.J. Abrams also did Star Trek, the predecessor, and I thought that was one of the most amazing remakes, continuations of a franchise that we've seen in a great many years. So if anyone's going to sort of kickstart the Star Wars franchise again, I got to give J.J. Abrams some amount of credit because he did what everyone thought was impossible with Star Trek, both paying homage and bringing in the previous franchise while also creating an entirely new one.
And not making a character of it.
Exactly.
And I must take the opposite side from what Sharon and Rick are saying. I thought Into Darkness was a phenomenal reboot of Wrath of Khan. And my wife and I have watched it ten times, and I think that it was a spectacular Star Trek movie. And furthermore, I think Disney, who now owns Star Wars, mm-hmm. the property, will not let this fail.
No.
This will be good. It'll never capture that magic from your youth, Sharon. You know,
I totally get you on that, but it's just that I feel like there's so much like social media, so much like we didn't know what was going on when the original movies were coming out, and I just don't want to know about it. It's the same thing that's happening with The Walking Dead right now. There's like so much, they're leaking photos, they're leaking like storylines. Like I don't want to know until like the series comes back on, or the show comes back, or the movie comes back. And that I guess I missed that.
Don't look at your Twitter feed. That's the easiest.
I don't. I black it out now because I'm waiting for October. So
I think you can take solace in the fact that J.J. Abrams' Star Wars is probably going to be better than any of the prequels at the very least.
Which I don't think were very good. But
yeah, I agree with you there.
So Sharon and Rick, what didn't you like about Into Darkness? This surprises me because in my house, that's about the greatest Star Trek movie you're going to see.
Well, I agree with Rick. I thought the first Star Trek reboot was excellent, and I was so looking forward to the second one, especially with Benedict Cumberbatch coming in playing, I did not realize it, Khan. And then I guess the story just didn't come together the way I would have liked to, and the original Star Trek Wrath of Khan was just, like, so awesome. I just don't think that you can remake certain things. And I don't think that you should remake certain things.
But it was different.
Honestly.
I think it was a bit forced, was my big issue with it. It was that it was such a slave to the original Wrath of Khan that it didn't have the freedom to become a great movie of its own. So many parts of it just seemed like, okay, well, here's the part where we have to check off the box about somebody screaming Khan. Here's the part where we have to check off the box
brilliant.
About this. Here's the part. And I actually love Benedict Cumberbatch's character in it. Prior to him saying that he was Khan, in that there's this great villain. He didn't need to be Khan. There's this great villain whose motivations we didn't understand. And then suddenly he says, oh, yeah, everyone called me Khan or whatever the line may have been. And suddenly now you know about everything you need to know about the character. And that's what frustrated me, is that it didn't have room to breathe on its own.
I think if you both watch it 10 more times, as we have done, I think you're going to see it our way. Hey, Sharon, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Sonny in Niskayuna. Sonny, you're up.
Oh, hey, guys. I'd just like to say I'm a very big Marvel and DC fan, and I just have a couple questions for you guys. First off, I just want to know, who do you like more, Marvel or DC? Just throwing that out there.
To us? Rick, what do you think?
Oh, you know, I like both, to be honest. This isn't even just a safe bet. I think they both have really great things in the comics world. I think Marvel's movies tend to be better than the ones that DC and Warner Brothers have been putting out. I like them a lot more. However, I like DC and Warner Brothers properties on television a bit more than some of the Marvel ones. Arrow and Gotham, I think, is going to be great. So I think DC and Warner Brothers do better with the TV and especially the animated stuff. But Marvel really rules the movie world. And on comics, I think it fluctuates. Certain ones have certain stories going on. At one point, that one will be better than the other one, and fluctuates.
When I was a kid, it was, for me, Marvel. I mean, Superman and Batman, yes, and I still have stacks of the old Detective Comics. But Marvel.
I still read a lot of both of them. I mean, I read pretty much an even amount of both of them, as well as a lot of smaller publisher comics.
All right.
And my second question really quick is, how do you think the new Batman, Superman, Dawn of Justice movie is going to do? Because I read a lot of stuff online, and, you know, a lot of people think, you know, it's not going to do good. You know, everyone was mad that Ben Affleck is going to be Batman. So I just want to, how do you guys think it's going to all pan out?
Well, he loves the title, I'll tell you that. Rick?
I think the movie is going to do ridiculous amount of money. It is going to make so much money because, you know what, you put Batman, Superman on the same screen together, and then you're like, oh yeah, and Wonder Woman's going to be in it, and all these other characters are going to be in it. It's printing money. It's going to make so much money.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not Casablanca or Citizen Kane. This is a comic book movie.
Yeah, I hope it's better than Man of Steel, which I was a bit, you know, lukewarm about. But I like Ben Affleck as Batman, so I'm looking forward to the movie in some ways that I'm very curious about it.
Did he play Batman in a previous movie?
No, he is not.
Everybody else has, but not him.
Very much so.
All right, Sonny, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to Kim and Troy. Kim.
Hello.
You're on.
Hi. Oh, gosh. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I think I turned my radio down too much. I just have a quick question. I'm interested in some of the cons that are going on now. I'm hearing a lot about them all over the place. And there was a generic con back in the spring. It was at RPI on campus. Mm-hmm. My kids went to it. They had a great time. And I think there's another one coming up. In Saratoga, I think it's in Saratoga, or it's in Glens Falls. It's going to be in August.
Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of local cons that are really the actual local comic convention and sort of genre convention scene has been blowing up lately. I actually had lived down in New York City for a while. I'd lived down there for about 8-10 years and then kind of came back to this area and was amazed to find out how many conventions were sustainable up here. Albany Comic Con, they have a couple of shows throughout the year. They're fantastic. They're great little, they're great smaller shows that are really, you go for the day, spend a few hours there, and I had a great time with them. I've been to a couple of them now since we got back here. They're well worth checking out. And also, you know, free comic book day on the first Saturday of May. That's always worth checking out at pretty much any of the local comic shops. There's a lot of great stuff going on locally now.
Oh, all right. My son's into anime.
Ah, that's his thing. So, you'll get that at all free comic book day and the conventions as well. There's it's not as represented as mainstream comics, but it's growing.
Oh, okay. Well, good information for him. I will pass that along to him.
Thanks, Kim. We appreciate the call. And the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We're joined by Rick Marshall today, who has been on these airwaves before. Not going to Comic-Con in San Diego this time around. I guess you look pretty pleased about that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Comic-Con makes me tired and exhausted.
All right. Here's one that came in via email. Rick, is there any new info on a Cowboy Bebop movie? That's from Kathy in Gilderland. What's Cowboy Bebop?
Cowboy Bebop is an anime and a manga, but it's this great anime series.
Yeah.
It's basically a space western.
Yeah.
And it's really, really very, very popular. It has a huge fan base. However, there's been a movie in the works for ages, like for more than a decade now, that just keeps getting stalled out. Keanu Reeves was attached to star in it for a while. He loved the project. He loved the idea of it. Now, I think the most recent interview with him, he talks about the fact that he's getting a bit too old
to
play the lead in it now. Mm. So, yeah, there's really been no movement on it lately.
All right, let's go to Dave in Poughkeepsie. Dave, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hello?
Hello. You're on.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The question I have is basically one little history on Captain Marvel, Billy Batson, and Shazam. Whatever happened to them?
All right.
Well, you very well may be seeing them in a big way soon, because Dwayne The Rock Johnson just this week, actually, during an interview for his movie Hercules, basically let it slip that he was very likely playing Shazam, Captain Marvel.
So that's a DC property?
Yes, it is a DC property. Used to be, it was a Fawcett Comics, one of those back in the day. And yeah, it's the whole Marvel family. He's basically the Superman equivalent, where Superman is, you know, the alien from space that has powers that way. Captain Marvel is the magic, basically magical equivalent of Superman. And yeah, in a recent interview, Dwayne Johnson had leaked that he very well may be playing Shazam in something coming up. So I think we might actually hear a lot more about that from when Comic-Con has their Warner Brothers panel on Saturday.
So actually, Captain Marvel was part of the DC comic train?
Yes.
Rather than the Marvel Comics?
Yes.
There was a Captain Marvel in Marvel Comics, but a totally different one, yes?
Totally different, yes. And that's why I think the when they do anything with it on the mainstream level, with a larger level, he's going to be referred to as Shazam.
It's a legal trademark issue at this
point? Yeah, I think it's also a confusion issue.
Okay.
Yeah, Shazam was just the magic word that Billy Batson used to say to turn into Captain Marvel.
Right, yes. Wisdom of Solomon, Strength of Hercules, all of those things sort of went together to form Shazam. And yeah, I think they're going to start referring to him as that. The last couple of years or so, DC has started referring to him more often as Shazam than Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's a still viable book?
In preparation for that.
That's a still viable book?
Yeah,
you can
he's
buy?
Still very much a part of the DC Comics universe.
I'll be darned. It seemed like very old school. Hey, Dave, thanks a lot for the call. It seemed like a very old school book, even when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been a more family-oriented. There was the Marvel family. There was, you know, Captain Marvel and Marvel Girl and all of, like, the very family-oriented adventures that they would have. But he's always been sort of the, when Superman gets out of line or does something wrong, suddenly the one that people turn to is Shazam, because, you know, it's basically a counterpart.
All right, let's go to Walker in Beckett, Massachusetts. Walker, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Basically what I wanted to ask about, and this is directed towards Mark, is how do you feel about, like, the Powerpuff Girls reboot, and should we, like, expect more 90s cartoons reboot?
Okay, it's Rick. Go ahead, Rick.
Rick, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. You know what? I did not grow up with Powerpuff Girls, so I don't have the connection to it. A lot of people do, but I definitely see that a lot of those 90s cartoons are basically just on their way to the big screen now, because there is so much love for them. I mean, you know, we got Mutant Turtles now, and we're getting Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, Roberto Orci there, who did Star Trek and a lot of those things. So
can Ren and Stimpy be far behind?
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a lot of market that people are seeing, that the market for these 90s properties is there. But I think we're going to learn a lot when they have the Power Rangers movie and some of these other ones, whether or not the people who love them in the 90s will still come out to some of these big productions.
The Power Rangers go back to the 90s?
Yeah.
My kids, they're young kids. They love the Power Rangers. I thought that was a fairly new thing.
I worked at KB Toys, actually, here in Gilderland, Crossgates Mall, during the Power Rangers craze. And I remember
when was that?
What, 90s? Yeah, I think
so. Wow.
Mid to late 90s. And I remember having to deal with during Christmas time, actually, and having to deal with the rush for Power Rangers toys at that point.
It still goes on. And it's a terrible show.
People offered me so much money for, like, setting aside Power Rangers toys. It was crazy.
We used to have to find the Power Rangers Halloween costumes.
Yep.
And they'd be sold out invariably. And why would you want to be one? I don't know. Walker, thanks a lot for the call. We're out of time. Rick Marshall, thank you for being here, and we really appreciate it. So where will you be next? What geeky event will you be at?
Well, you know what? Next month, actually, is a big one. Jack Kirby, one of the biggest comic creators of all time. Basically, most comic book characters that you've heard of, he had some role in either creating or making popular at one point. Celebrating his birthday next month. There's actually a big local event. Schmaltz Brewery up in Clifton Park, August 28th. They're having a big Jack Kirby celebration. They're making a special beer for it and everything.
Fantastic. Support comes from Kingsway Communities Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living and more. Caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com. Craft Producers, presenting the Southern Vermont Art and Craft Festival August 1st through 3rd in Bennington, Vermont. A juried show with music, food, and entertainment, craftproducers.com. And the Yiddish Book Center, Amherst, Massachusetts, a center for Yiddish culture, museum exhibits, tours, concerts, educational programs, and more. Open Sunday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., yiddishbookcenter.org. Thanks to Rick Marshall, Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Mike Allinger. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for a great show tomorrow, and the news is next.